everyone. Welcome to another episode of Caught Between a Tie and High Heels, a transgender podcast journal where I share past experiences and new situations as I slowly step out of the closet to free myself from the tie and live my life completely in the high heels. I'm Jamie, your hostess and friendly neighborhood trans lesbian, and welcome to the podcast. Hello and happy Pride, everyone. Yes, Pride Month is finally here. It's the only good thing I like about the summer, except my birthday. And as I'm getting older, I'm really not liking those as much anymore. So, hey, Pride, here we go. I need to apologize. I've had like a really yucky tummy. I guess I ate something really weird or something along those lines, but I was in no way, shape, or form able to record a podcast in order to have it come out yesterday. And so today is normally, would be a Tuesday, but I'm now, you're listening to this on the 8th of June, 2022. And I am really sorry for having a yucky tummy. I don't know what I ate though, because I'm usually like really, really, I have gastroparesis. So it's like I've already got to be careful about what I eat, but whatever. So here we are today, and I am going to share with you a very personal story. But first, I promised you last time, first people who listen, who downloaded the last episode, Yorktown, Virginia. Go home state. All right, that's cool. I was glad. It wasn't until a day later that I actually got the first country. And that was Germany. Vielen Dank. Appreciate you. And then finally, the same day, but later on in the day, Australia from Perth ended up being the third download. Well, I shouldn't say that. Others downloaded, but they were here in the United States. But they were the second or the third one that I'm actually keeping track of. It makes sense in my mind. Trust me. We're all together, really. One thing about Australia, though, that I wanted to my listeners in Australia, first of all, love you in Germany, love all my listeners. But I have been mesmerized by these videos, reels, if you will, from a candy shop that's in New South Wales called Sticky. These guys, first of all, they make lollies, which are not the candy that they're making is what not normally. I English well, very I American English, good so far. Sorry, I would not consider them lollies. To me, a lolly is like a lollipop, but they make these beautiful candies that have these little images, and they look so friggin' delicious. And it's a dad, his daughter, and just a fantastic crew. Absolutely love. I am addicted to watching them make these candies. The weird thing about it, and the thing that I loved watching, is they make these designs on the inside. So I've seen them make a turtle. I've seen them make, just a number of different candies. Or lollies, we'll go with that. And first of all, they have a rainbow. I would love to see, I don't know if they ship overseas. I really don't. But man, oh man, would I love to get some of these because they look delicious. There's a rainbow. And I thought instantly, what a great way to start off Pride with a rainbow lolly from Sticky. But it was really good. If you don't know anything about these people, you need to check them out. That is at sticky.com.au, first of all. And if you're in Australia, if you're one of my Australian listeners, they're at 12 through 24 Playfair Street, Shop 10, The Rocks. I believe that's The Rocks Center, which is, I think, a historical landmark. In New South Wales, Australia, 2000. So you've got to go. Tell them that you heard it on the podcast. I've already chatted with them. And they already know about my podcast. I asked them if it was okay if I talked about them. Again, I never say anybody never say names or never mention anything unless they have permission from them. I'm not getting anything from them at all, so I want you to understand that. But they're just so awesome to watch. I want to watch more. I want to watch more designs. They were trying to make a turtle that ended up, I think it was a turtle that they tried the first time, they said, and it was like it went awry, but they stretch out this candy, they pour it out, and they get these little links of candy. It looks like a yardstick, basically, of just a candy roll. And when it hardens, it's like a hard candy. And they're sitting there, and they had a race. They had a race of who could cut them off. The father and daughter ended up having a race to see who could cut them off the fastest. And it's just like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's just, I'm sure it would look so much better being there. But just watching these videos, it's like, amazing. They look so delicious. So if you are in Australia, you're anywhere near New South Wales, and you're anywhere near the rocks, please go. Tell them I said hi. I think they're awesome. I think if you don't know anything about them, I think you will think that they're awesome. And again, I'm not getting a single thing from them on this. I just want to mention them because I think they're awesome. So everybody's just awesome. It's like a Lego commercial. I don't ask them permission, but I love Lego, so I'm always going to say everybody's awesome. Anyway, I wanted to get that out of the way because that is just a latest friend that I ended up making, and wanted to talk to you about the candy. Really, really awesome. I'm really going to see what I can do about ordering an assortment, if at all possible. So they even do logos. Oh my God, they had Land Rover. I think if you go on their website, they had Land Rover. They had a couple of other company logos that they could do on the inside of the candy. And, I mean, the candy doesn't look to be bigger than, like, maybe a U.S. nickel, I guess. But they just chop them up in, like, little wonderful edible bites, and it's so good. So, yes, I'm definitely going to. If I do order, I will let you know. Okay, today's podcast. Let's get on to the subject. How did I learn I was queer? Well, transgender, and also a lesbian. So I don't think that I have told this entire story, so I'm going to try and summarize, because it would be probably way too long in order for me to go through the whole nine yards. But I wanted to share my story because I thought, what better way in order to kick off Pride Month by sharing my story? This would be perfect. Like, this is how I knew that I was a member of this beautiful community, the LGBTQ community and the trans lesbian community. This is where it all started. So let's get into it, shall we? All right. I had struggled for a very long time. Now, I was born in 1970. I'm not going to hide my age. I'm almost 52. So I was born in 1970, and this is a very difficult age because the internet hadn't even come around yet. And I know that I have mentioned this part. Really, the only thing that we had back then as far as, this taboo subject of transgenderism or transsexualism, as they had it back then, or cross-dressing, or transvestites. Again, all these terms were going on and being thrown around, and it was really, really hard in order to really kind of nail a definition down for each one of them. But again, trying to figure all this stuff out, I had no idea. And it wasn't until I was in my early teens that I really kind of figured out that this is what it's called, or this was the quote-unquote label that goes with it. I did figure out a little bit earlier that I knew that I was different. I knew that I wanted to be a girl. I knew that something was different, okay? So I struggled for a very, very long time. In sixth grade, my parents got divorced. Really difficult time. I was 11 years old, and I had been struggling. Oh my God, I've been struggling for a very, very, very long time. And the biggest thing was that I had already kissed a girl. At this point, two girls, actually. My very first Amy crush. I think I talked about that before. And there was another girl that I ended up kissing. So I was already into kissing. No tongues. I mean, I was 11. You know what I mean? There was just like, you held your lips together and it was like, ooh, how long did you kiss? Well, you know, I could have stayed stuck with someone. I mean, because you can breathe. So it could have been for, you know, 5-10 minutes. I mean, as long as the other person. But again, it was childish stuff. So I had kissed a girl. And around about, I want to say, I can only remember bits and pieces. I really tried to rack my brain about this, but during the sixth grade, I really started to notice girls a lot more, but in a different light. Like, yes, I knew boys kissed girls back when I was in grade school or elementary school. So in the United States, elementary school is like first through fifth. Middle school is anywhere for like sixth through eighth. My middle school was sixth and seventh grade. And then you would go on to the high school that you did 8 through senior or your 12th year. So I was in middle school. I started noticing, again, I'm sorry, I take these breaks with the swallowing. If you hear me swallow, it's just because of these stupid aligners. My teeth look great, by the way. Never been cleaner, but yeah, I got these things in me that, really weird. Anywho, I'm in sixth grade and I really start noticing girls in a more, not just so much as a being attracted to them, like, okay, that's a girl, I'm supposed to be attracted to that person because, you know, I'm a boy. So therefore that's what I'm supposed to learn. And, but I kept having these weird feelings as I saw them gather in their cliques a little bit more. Like, that was where I really paid attention that girls like really huddle, like in their little cliques, their little groups, and they have their own little niches, you know, like there was the drama girls and they all just sort of hung around one another. I was in band, so there were the band girls and they sort of talked to one another. Most of the time they were, you know, playing flute or violin or something along those lines. There was actually one female saxophone player. She was really cute. She was from China, I think. Really awesome girl. Never really truly became friends with her, although I really secretly wanted to, but I was just too shy and whatever. So I admired her from afar as a friend. I was never really attracted to her, but I just thought she was really cool. But I started noticing that I really want to know. They started dressing a little bit differently. You could tell that they were wearing bras at this point. A few of them, not a lot. Then when seventh grade hit, it increased even more. They started wearing, like a few of the more girls started wearing makeup. Like the girls that I had grown up with. So the ones that I had been through first through fifth in elementary school. And then I was in classes with them in sixth grade. Now in seventh grade, it's like, whoa. Okay, the booby fairy came to some of them and just like, bing, and they've got boobies. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And this was in seventh grade. And that's when the feeling started coming more rapidly. So when I say rapidly, the thing would be that I would get these huge emotions that I want to be female, that I have to be female, and that there's something, I don't know what causing these urges or something along those lines. And, but it wouldn't happen all the time. So, okay. Again, thanks to my father's porn collection, I had a unlimited amount of masturbation material. And, you know, when you start learning how to shake hands with Mr. Happy, as the beloved Robin Williams used to say, you know, it comes in handy to have a unlimited porn collection. So when I would masturbate, it would, that emotion, that feeling that I would need to be, that I really wanted to know what that felt like for the females in the picture would subside. And I'm like, oh, so this is where a lot of the confusion came in. What the hell's going on with me? Because it's like, okay, I feel really strongly, like extremely strongly, about wanting to dress like these girls I see, these beautiful girls that I see walking around in high school, or high school, Jesus, in seventh grade in class. But then when I masturbate, it goes away. Then about a month goes by, 2 months go by, and then it starts to rear its ugly head again. And then those emotions start to come back again. And then I start having those feelings again. And it's really super strong, like unbelievably, like all I think about type of thing. Like they say that guys all are thinking constantly. And I believe that they are. After starting hormones, I do believe this wholeheartedly, that guys usually think about having sex or putting their penis in something probably like 90% of the day. 90% of the day, maybe. Maybe 87, but that's really pushing it. Because it's testosterone, man. I'm telling you, testosterone is like, wow. It's like a super, just want to make you horny, you know, you just basically have sex with a knot in a fence, you know what I mean? It was just crazy. But it wasn't that feeling for me. It wasn't like, okay, you masturbate, then you wait a few months, and you feel like you just need to masturbate again. No, I masturbated to get rid of the strong emotions that I was having about wanting to dress, wanting to be more and appear more like the girls that were in class instead of the, you know, four-eyed little drama band geek that was walking around with the school windbreaker on. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was me. Yeah. With the tortoiseshell weird 80s frames, you know. It was 81, 1981 at that point. I was looking hot. Hot. One of these days I'm going to actually post or publish pictures of what I looked like when I was in grade school. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a keeper. But I digress. So, I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. Meanwhile, in my personal life, school's going crap. Just tanked out, and I failed the seventh grade. So I got to come back another game. This is by the way, during the time that when you failed, you actually got failed, and you had to come back and repeat that. I don't think they do that anymore. I think they just sort of like, oh, well, thanks for giving it your hardest try. We'll move you right along, and kids get just lost in the system or whatever the case may be. If I'm wrong on that, tell me, because I would really like to know, because I think, honestly, they've abandoned the practice of physically keeping someone behind. So I failed the seventh grade. So I'm repeating the seventh grade again, and again, the feelings are even stronger than what it was the year before. And I'm like, what in the world? What is going on with me? I don't understand. I don't have a clue as to what is making me feel this way. But it's really strong. And then my mind started floating around more about, okay, well, if I feel this way, does that mean that I'm gay? Does that mean that, like, I'm an effeminate guy and I need to find other guys attractive? And this was extremely confusing for me. And the first image, when I repeat this in my head, honestly, the first image, it jumps in, there's a breezeway, okay? So picture, if you will, a very long hallway of classrooms. That was the seventh grade, and it was attached to an even older building of two stories that was basically the sixth grade, the cafeteria, and the auditorium all in one building. And the image that comes into my mind is this really attractive guy. And again, bear with me. This was the early 80s. He's wearing parachute pants, black and gray parachute pants. I cannot forget this guy. He was, I believe he was Filipino, had beautiful 80s hair. Oh my God. Like, I wanted his hair. And I just remember watching him go through this breezeway and down the stairs. And that's the first image that comes into my mind is that, am I supposed to like that? I mean, I agree. As a grown adult, yes, that was an attractive kid. So much so that it keeps jumping into my mind now that I'm even 52 years old. He's the first person that I remember. Couldn't tell you his name to save my life. All I know is I remember the look. And I was like, am I supposed to find that attractive? I'm having a really difficult time doing that. Did not get it. did not understand at all. So I keep struggling with this. It's a huge struggle. I end up going, just the school year goes crap again, and I'm about to fail the seventh grade a second time just because things at home are really bad. And again, that's a completely different story. But I'm about to fail the seventh grade a second time when they basically start testing me and blah, 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 blah. Come to find out, I'm basically probably undiagnosed ADHD at this point. But I go through all these tests, and the test results come up that I need to be a more, more disciplined learning environment. I'm like, okay. So that's when I got the choice, public school, Catholic school, military school. I talked about all that, and I chose military school. So it was the end of the year. I was let go, and I was just pushed forward into the eighth grade so I could qualify to get into this military school. During that time, while I was in band, I ended up getting to be friends with one guy that, again, he was also in seventh grade, but he was very effeminate. You could see it in the way that he walked. You could see it in the way that he was in drama class. You could hear it in his voice. And again, he was the constant ridicule of all the cool guys, to include the cute guy that was, or the good looking guy that was in the parachute pants that I would just describe. He was picked on by them, the popular clique, because he was, they, you know, did all the bad names, faggot, gay, queer, you know, whatever the case. And he still kept going to school, still kept doing his thing, but him and I became friends because he acted, he was a really good actor, and I really enjoyed doing a play with him. And we were in a performance together. We did a couple of improv sketch things. We did pretty well together. So we continued the friendship during the summertime. Now, back behind the school, there's a series of hills and little ravines and everything else. Great for riding your bike. And if you're a budding BMX fan during that time period, it was skateboarding, BMX was also really popular. And surfing or waterboarding or boogie boarding, because I lived at the beach. So these were all activities that you did. And, you know, I'm in my little, you know, huffy bike, you know, because I couldn't afford any of the nice things like a Diamondback or, you know, one of these other beautiful BMX bikes. Him and I decide we're going to go ride bikes in the one afternoon, and we're going to hook up and just ride bikes, jump a few of these things. And we do. And it's really cool. And we're getting kind of hot. And both of us have enough allowance money. We go to McDonald's or something like that. We get a Happy Meal or something. I can't remember. I know that we go to a McDonald's that was right down the street. We come back. We ride a little bit more. And then we stop. And we're sitting on a curb that leads into, like, I'm not describing this very well. But, like, it's a curb on the very back part of the parking lot that is closest to these little, the woods that are back behind the school. And we're just talking about other things and everything else. And I'm like this this entire time, like, I keep wanting to build up the courage in order to ask him, this is, you know, do you like boys and everything? And I'm just struggling with it. And finally, I mean, there was a really long silence, and, you know, I'm just playing with, like, rocks on the blacktop, you know, it's in the gutter, you know, right there at our feet. And I finally, like, without even looking at him, I was like, so, do you like guys? And there was a little bit of a pause. And then he said, yeah, I think I do. He goes, do you? And I said, well, I'm not really sure. I don't know. And there was a little bit more conversation, and I can't remember. For the life of me, as much as I focus on this, I can't remember, but I can see him clear as day. When I asked him, I was like, do you want to kiss? Because, you know, maybe that would be a test for me. And so he agrees. And we kiss. And again, it's seventh grade. Well, I'm 13, almost 13. Excuse me, I'm 12 at this point. So we kiss, and it's just the touching lips together. It's no tongue or anything else like that. I won't do that for another year, and that's another story. But the kiss was fine. There wasn't anything wrong with the kiss, but when I pulled away from his face and I opened up my eyes and I saw his male face, and again, he's starting to get a little bit of peach fuzz on his lip. I mean, it was about that time. I mean, you know, our armpits are stinking. We're starting to get more hair underneath our arms and in our between our legs. And, you know, I just pulled away and I saw a male face, and I was just like, this really doesn't do anything. And I told him that. I, you know, no offense. You know, I'm, you know, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I don't think I like guys. I appreciate it, though. I appreciate the kiss. And we rode bikes for a little bit more, and it started getting dark, and then he went his way and I went my way. We talked on the phone a little bit, but then his dad was in the military and got orders to deploy somewhere else, and he was gone. Never saw him again, ever, ever, ever. And it was at that moment, that's when I learned that I definitely like girls. Let's jump forward a little bit. So I told you that story to tell you this story. So I had already been dressing in my mom's clothes for quite some time and really kind of getting into this and really enjoying it. Like, there was an hour and a half of time that I got off of school. Well, during that seventh grade little thing, there was time that I had dressed up before. Now, when I'm in military school, 8th grade through 12th, I had plenty of time during the summertime because I was at home alone. My older brother had already moved out, and I basically had chores that I had to do, but there was a lot of extra time during the day that I was just like, either I go playing with friends that I really didn't have, but my mom thought I still had, or I dress up in her clothing, and I figure out nails and, you know, the whole nine, and I shaved my legs and all that stuff. And it wasn't until I watched Phil Donahue. So if you don't know who Phil Donahue is, it's a male Oprah with white hair. There you go. So that's Phil Donahue. He was very, very big talk show or chat show guy during the day. And he did... I was just flipping through channels, and this was, again, in the afternoon. So I flipped through, and there's a whole panel of what I could, in some of them, clearly see it was a guy dressed as a woman. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So I was glued to the TV. Glued. And they started talking about what it was, how they felt, and everything else. And this is where I first heard of a transgender. I had heard of transvestite. I had heard of transsexual before, and what the difference between those two, but I had never heard this term transgender before. So this was, again, about 1984, because 84 keeps jumping into my mind as being a very, very awesome year. It was also the year I lost my virginity, which was pretty awesome. And again, that's another podcast. I think I've already told that, but if you want to hear about me losing my virginity, just email me, let me know, and I'll be happy to do it. I'll be happy to tell you that story, because it is a story. Definitely a story. So after watching Phil Donahue, I start really kind of feeling, well, okay, do I feel that I'm transgender? Because at that point, they were defining a transgender individual as someone who wants to present full-time in the opposite gender's clothing than what they were assigned at birth, but they don't want to have surgery. They don't want to have bottom surgery or sexual reassignment surgery, or SRS, as they were calling it at that point. So that's what a transsexual was, a person who wanted to present full-time but also wanted to have surgery. And so for the longest time, that's how I identified. But that was the first time that I really connected the fact that, like, okay, but I'm a lesbian, basically, or I'm a guy who likes girls, but I'm a guy who wants to present full time as a female. And it just sort of was a breath of clarity that I had done all this on my own, and at least I had something as a stepping stone, if you will. We never got a computer at home, until much later on, but then I was able to, find through, later in my junior year, you were able to find out a number of things on the internet, still doing the dial up with the, you know, the really weird, the over your ISDN line or whatever it was. But I was learning a lot during that time period, like almost up until I graduated, and trying to figure out. And that was really my stepping stone in order for me to say, okay, this is the label I'm going to go with. This is the label. And I didn't really fully get it that I was a trans lesbian until really a lot later on. It's like, well, okay, can a transgender person be a lesbian? Can a transgender, male to female, transgender woman be a lesbian? But I mean, I guess you can. And this is, again, I know now that yes, of course you can, you know, because that's how I identify. But this is, again, you know, 1980 something. And privately, I had not told a single soul. And I would not until I was in my late 30s. Yeah. Well, that's a revelation for me as well, that I kept it for that long, a secret for that long. And that was only out of desperation, by the way, because I was in a bad marriage. I think I've told that story as well, but there you go. But yeah, thank you, Phil Donahue. And thank you, boy, that I rode bikes with and was friends with for a year, and who kissed me and allowed me to kiss him. And be able to figure out that I really wasn't into guys. I fantasized about guys, like more of like a threesome type of thing. I'm not gonna lie, because there's a person that's out there that I share like these fantasies that, oh, well, that could be a possibility. And the last thing I'm gonna do is, you know, lie about it, because yeah, sure, okay, I thought about it. I literally have had a dream about giving someone oral sex, a male oral sex, but nothing that I'm really looking to pursue. Unless, of course, it's Ryan Reynolds. Then all bets are off. Yeah. But I'm going down a completely different rabbit hole. So that's how I learned that I was a trans lesbian. I hope you enjoyed this story. There is going to be bonus episodes, so keep an eye out. They're not going to be really long like this one. This is like, we're going on 35 minutes now, so I apologize for going over my 30-minute mark, but hopefully you enjoyed listening to how I became, or how I figured out that I was a trans lesbian. I was always that way. That's how I became it. I just figured out how to label it, so go figure. Anyway, I hope you had fun listening. I will talk with you again soon. Until then, toodles, everyone, and happy Pride. If you enjoyed this episode, there are a few ways you can help us continue making great content. You can buy us a coffee at buymecoffee.com/Harry Rump. You can purchase some quality shirts and accessories at Harry Rump's House of Stuff, or become a patron at patreon.com/Harry Rump's House of Stuff. You can also do all those and contact us on our website at tieinhighheels.com. You can always find us on Instagram and Facebook at tieinhighheels. And don't forget to give us a review on iTunes. And email all of your comments and questions at jaimee@tieinhighheels.com. And as always, happy listening!